You know, folks of the village, every time I look over at Ryan as we're recording here, I think of Easter eggs.
Because I have a shaved head. Yeah. You fucking asshole.
He was, before we started recording, he was asking how I was going to open this. So there you go. There's your answer.
That's not bad.
Welcome to the awesome village. I'm Greg, and joining me is
Ryan.
John.
And I'm Glenn.
The way you just did that big thing, swinging your arms out, we got to get the camera in here so people can see your over the top.
My over gesturing.
You're the showman.
The greatest showman.
You're the greatest showman.
I don't know if I want to be picked tomorrow.
Maybe not the real one, but maybe
you
the
can
one
see
in
the fleas, mommy.
Maybe the. What? That is not where
that
I thought.
That was not from the greatest showman.
No, it was not. You just
no,
turned...
but that was he's kind of that's where that story comes from.
Spared no expense.
Spared no expense.
Look, you see the fleas, mommy.
It was all motorized, of course. Fucking great.
Ice cream was all melted.
So that, I mean, that could be an example of an Easter egg, though, because that story, they're comparing him to P.T. Barnum.
You think he was trying to really eat all that fucking ice cream? Like, what did he think was going to happen?
It was going to melt. He had to get rid of it.
I guess so.
You can't let it go to waste.
Yeah. It's like Newman with the muffin bottom.
But I believe Newman could do it. I don't know if he could eat all that ice cream in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, he'd try. Apparently, it was really good. Laura Dern looked like she liked it.
That's true.
I was by John's the other day, and Seinfeld was on. It was the episode where Kramer was stuck because he sold Banya his clothes.
How'd you expect to get home? Why didn't the guy... Oh, God, what episode? My wife, she's seen Seinfeld, but she has not watched it from beginning to end. So there's episodes that she hasn't seen. So the other day, the episode, the mango was on, and she had never seen that, and she thought she was dying laughing. She actually did not know that Elaine and Jerry had dated. So I was like, you've got to start this show from the very beginning.
Yeah, try this, that,
and the other.
So, Easter eggs. We're doing this because it's Easter time.
So yeah. Talking about Seinfeld, there's an interesting Easter egg where Seinfeld crossed over to another show.
Mad About You.
That's right.
Well, all the NBC shows kind of crossed over a
Mad
little
About
bit.
You crossed over with Friends.
And then, Mad About You did?
Yeah.
When?
Remember, it was Helen Hunt and her best friend. They came into
Central Park.
And they thought
Ursula.
Ursula was a character on
That's
Mad
right.
About You.
I forgot about that.
And then if you remember on, was it Cheers and Wings crossed over? What else we had? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and...
All of the Chicago Fire Med.
Well, that's different. That's a shared universe. That's
Chicago universe.
The Chicago shared universe.
Have the SUVs across the
world. Yeah, the SUV. That's a shared universe. So I wouldn't consider that an Easter egg. But
Easter's coming.
It is.
It is. Growing up, you know, we live in a very Catholic area. Were your Easter baskets normally full of prizes and treats?
Okay. I usually had one present.
See, yeah. I never got presents. I never expected them. Easter was just candy for me. And whatever you had given up during Lent, you got to have that on Easter Sunday.
Well, and technically, Lent ends on like the Thursday,
I know,
right?
But like my family would always go to Easter Sunday. Which is another thing. Like, the thing about Lent is Greg loves to enjoy and flaunt it to people, that is giving up meat on Fridays. But why is it, especially around here, when we get to Easter Sunday, everyone around here wants crawfish boils? Like, we just went through 40 days where we're eating less meat.
You see, we usually do some sort of barbecue.
And that's what I love to do. But most of my family, and actually on Easter Sunday, I'm going to my in-laws, and we're doing a big crawfish boil, which, I mean, I love crawfish.
You can eat fish meat.
I love crawfish, but it's just like, oh, let's barbecue.
Speaking of boils, though, the other day I saw this, and you guys rate whether or not you think this is a tragedy or if this is interesting, but I saw someone did a crawfish boil where they put ravioli in it.
Like raw ravioli?
Sausage and cheese filled ravioli the boil, and it boiled the...
I'm noticing people are throwing a lot of new stuff in crawfish boils.
My Uncle Louis would do this whenever there's a shrimp or a crawfish boil. He would get a sack of tamales.
Yep.
And when the crawfish boil is done, he puts the sack on top of it and puts the lid on it so the steam steams the tamales.
But that flavor,
right,
that the seasoning does still get into the tamales.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard people throwing like eggs now in crawfish boils, and you get
I haven't had that.
You got boiled eggs with all that crawfish seasoning, spicy as shit.
Yeah.
Well, Karen used to, you know, years ago, she used to work at the Bay Cafe, and they used to do their annual crawfish like cook-off. It was like for a charity fundraiser thing, and they'd have, you know, categories where people could vote. It was, you know, best crawfish, best corn, best potatoes, and they would always have a lanyap category, and everybody would do something different. And I mean, I've tried stuff that I do now all the time, like we put cans of artichoke hearts in there; they come out really good. Pineapple comes out really good in there. And somebody even one day just put in a bag of frozen meatballs, just plain ones, and they just
soaked up the crab boil,
and it was so good.
So for those of you who don't know, we are from New Orleans, and crawfish boils are a big deal down here.
Well, not so much this year, because crawfish are insanely expensive because of the weird weather we have.
Can I tell you, the crawfish, not my favorite.
I like it. But like,
I prefer a shrimp boil or a crab boil.
I think I prefer, if you're going to give me those choices, I would pick a crawfish because it's the least amount of work. Well, shrimp is probably not.
No, I wouldn't pick shrimp.
Crabs are delicious, but it's a pain in the ass.
Well, and depends on the type of crab. The blue crabs, yes. Yeah. But like, if you get like the dungeon or something like that, it's the same amount of work, but like five times the...
But most people in Louisiana don't do the big snow crab
legs.
That's
their mistake.
No, I mean, I
get it.
Well,
they're also very expensive.
Very.
If you want that, you just go to a casino and do all you can eat.
Or the local buffet here, which you know has that. But yeah, I mean, I like crawfish. But what other things do y'all? I mean, do y'all like Cadbury cream eggs? I've never been a big fan. I know it's
in a crawfish boil.
No, I'm talking about an Easter, you fucker.
I like Cadbury's chocolate. The cream eggs, I used to get those, but I don't really like the cream inside very much. The Cadbury caramel eggs,
caramel chocolate filled eggs, like all of it. Like I'm with John. I used to love those. But as they've gotten different options,
my favorite is the Reese's peanut butter cup egg.
Oh yeah, those are the best.
That thing. I mean, they've made Christmas trees. It don't taste the same to me.
Yeah,
the egg is the best.
And the one thing I didn't realize until recently, you know, the Elmer's like
the glue.
All the different. No, the Elmer's
fucking,
candy.
The like, fucking glue. What an ass.
Like the what you call the Heavenly Hash eggs and all that.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that started in Ponchatoula.
No shit.
Yeah, Elmer's the company's in Ponchatoula.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is close to New Orleans. If
you know, over in England, around this time, they do the McFlurries at McDonald's, and they do
Cadbury
cream egg McFlurries.
We need to plan a trip to go during the time where we can get that.
Do they have the commercials over there with all the animals auditioning to be the
so, funnily enough, John and I went to the Cadbury factory.
We did.
What an experience it was, because there's a tour. When you start the tour, they give you a bag of candy. And as you go along the tour, they go, here, try some candy at all these different stops. But they go through the history of Cadbury and why it tastes different. And there's all these characters.
Why does it taste different?
There's a different emulsification that they use.
Did they give you fizzy lifting, right?
No.
They did not. No. But
they don't mix the chocolate by waterfall either.
No.
Well, then it's just second rate as far as I'm concerned. Right.
Well, and then you go on this little ride. And when we go on the ride, so it was me by myself in one little car. And then we had John and Karen, and then Auntie Detta and John's mom were in a car. And I had seen the sign that said, you'll get a picture when you turn this corner. So they turned the corner, and they didn't see the sign. So there's, you know, the picture's like – but my picture is me holding two candy bars and grinning from ear to ear at the camera. And then it ends. You walk out, and there's a gift shop, and they have this thing called the – was it the bags of the misprints or whatever. And it's like $1 – or a pound for like a huge bag of candy.
Yeah, I went to the and
misshapes.
Yeah, one of the trips when I went to California, we went to the Jelly Belly factory, and they do the same. They sell the belly flops, is what they call them.
The Bad Batch.
Exactly.
In the Cadbury store at the end where they have all the different stuff, they've got a Cadbury's soccer ball that's like regulation size, but it's just made out of chocolate.
It's solid chocolate.
It's kind of thick from what I understand, but it's not. It is hollow in the middle. Because I mean that would.
You break it open as a little David Beckham in it.
Yep.
Jesus.
Good stuff, though.
It is. So, Easter eggs?
But to answer your question, so when I was growing up, we would usually get an Easter basket, and it was full of candy with one kind of present that would fit in the basket.
Yeah.
It was usually some sort of video game or action figure.
I would usually get like a regular Nintendo game, and I mean, you know, just something that was maybe a $20 game.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Nothing super expensive.
Yeah, Greg, you'll be jealous what me and my wife are getting the boys for Easter this year.
Go on.
We got tickets to go to the Baton Rouge minor league hockey.
Glenn went. I'm very jealous.
Yeah, I went a few weeks on March 1st. We went and saw him. We saw him play.
Yeah, we're going. It's going to be in April. I mean, Greg and I used to love going to brass games.
That's what got me into hockey.
They're fun. We brought my nephew.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling my wife because she's like, "Well, you ever went to a hockey game?" I was like, "Yeah, they're amazing." And she's like, "Really?"
So much fun.
Even if you don't really understand the sport, first of all, I could explain it to her, but like it's. It's a
lot. Something's always happening.
Yeah.
You get a hot dog and a beer and you, man.
Yeah,
oh,
we
man.
Went and it was fun because my nephew, he didn't know anything about hockey. And after he went to his dad, my brother-in-law, and said, "Dad, we got to go to one of those. The violence."
Here's the question though, Ryan. Are you going to paint your face?
You got to support the team.
The devil.
It's too bad I don't have a brass shirt to keep, you know.
Yeah.
Wear that.
Remember when we went to that one game and there was those older
ladies? The crazy old ladies behind us?
They would make the little sound like the bum da dum dum dum, and after it got to the end they would go, "Go brass, go!"
Well, this is the Zydeco.
Yeah.
The Baton Rouge Zydeco.
As long as they're not baby cakes.
The tickets were really cheap, so you should look into it.
No, I think we should.
Did you get the tickets already?
I think my wife got them.
All right, just because I was going to warn you, because we went to get the tickets on the Ticketmaster, and the fees were more than the tickets. So we drove up there, and if you get them from the arena, the fees are only $4.
Oh, fuck. Well, I'll see if she's bought them yet.
If the season was still going on around my birthday, which it shouldn't be, I would say go Texas Day Brazil and go watch a damn hockey game would be my ideal.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to go to Texas Day Brazil, but we're going to make a whole day out of it in Baton Rouge.
I would recommend eating before you get there because the food's fine there, but it's all like...
Yeah, it's a minor league hockey arena.
Yeah, it's just the whatever they have at the arena, which I was expecting them to have Raising Cane's there since it's the Raising Cane's arena. But
no, I have dogs, burgers, and... Well, yeah, I would expect tenders.
Apparently they're two loves.
Yeah.
So.
Easter.
Easter eggs.
So,
did y'all dye Easter eggs? Y'all find that fun?
Oh yeah,
I still do that with my kids.
They're fun.
It's gotten a lot more extravagant now. You can get stickers and designs. Like eggs.
We got this little machine that it was really cheap. It was like $10 or something at Walmart, and it's just got a little motor in it, and you put the egg in the little slot, and when you turn it on, it just spins the egg in place, and it comes with all these different markers, and all you just touch the marker down on it, and it makes like the lines around it, so you can make all these striped eggs.
Nice.
If I'm going to dye an egg, I'm just going to wrap it in sausage and fry it and just make a scotch egg.
There you go.
I still haven't been able to get one of those fucking things.
So, okay, don't get it at the Ren Fair.
I haven't been able to. It's always sold out.
But this is why. And John, vouch for me on this. Basically, a traditional scotch egg still has a slightly runny yolk in the center. Mm-hmm. And when they do this, it's so hard boiled that it's just that chalky ass. Like, you don't get the.
I mean, I don't mind either way with eggs. You
preferably try it the other way.
Okay.
I think when you cook them, you're supposed to cook it to where it's almost like a soft boiled egg.
Yeah.
But then you fry it, and it gets most of the way cooked.
Gotcha.
It's got a slight bit of goo.
At Finn McCool's, they have like a English menu there, and I think they got a Scotch egg on the menu. There you
go. Notch.
Check that out one day.
But the Easter eggs that we're going to talk about next are the ones that. Well, you find it.
You can't eat.
Do we know the origin of the term Easter egg, Glenjamin? You seem like you would know this.
They kind of talked about it in Ready Player One, the novel, I believe. Right? Because it kind of just it started as something because you hunt for them like you would hunt for Easter
eggs. Yeah.
And it started kind of like with bored programmers, and they would just have fun. You know, putting in these random things where if you did a certain thing in a video game, a little box would pop up with their name or something. And when people found out about them, it started the Easter egg hunt, hence the term Easter egg.
But it's like something that will – it doesn't change your outcome of watching the movie or playing the game. It's just a little hidden thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of times – yeah, because, I mean, animators used to do it a lot in old Disney movies where, you know, they would, you know –
give a priest an erection in Little Mermaid.
I was thinking more when was it the Lion King when they fall down? Don't the leaves spell out sex if you pause it in the right spot? Or
I don't even know.
People working in titles for old things that they worked on, or you know, it's just fun things that they throw in there because they can.
Yeah,
and then if you know it, you're like, oh, look at that.
Pixar does it a lot.
Yeah, Pixar does it a lot, but sometimes it's fun, especially if you're well versed in Hollywood and stuff like that. When you see certain things, you're like, oh, that's why that's in there, kind of thing. So we're going to talk about some of our favorite Easter eggs in movies.
So we talked like Ready Player One the whole movie is basically about Easter eggs.
Yeah,
that's how it's the hunt. Right, that's how the movie starts with that quest. But John was pointing out when DVDs first came out, Easter eggs were all over menu screens and stuff. So what are some of the ones y'all remember?
I remember when I got the Godfather box set, there was an Easter egg where, you know, you're on the menu and you go to just somewhere where there's not an option and the little cursor goes over there. And if you press enter, it brought up a scene in The Sopranos where they start, where they're talking about getting the Godfather on DVD and talking about watching it. And
I think that might be the second episode of the series.
Yeah.
Like the open. It's a cold open, I think, of that episode.
Yeah.
I remember the movie Memento where you went to a certain spot on the DVD menu and it wasn't something you were supposed to select. And when you selected it, it would play the movie, which if you've seen Memento, the whole movie's in reverse, but it'll play it in chronological order.
Would you consider, if this is considered an Easter egg, it's probably the most famous one. Up, up, down, down?
Sure.
Left, right, BA, select, wait, well, start.
So, I mean, some younger people may not know what that means.
So that's from
the Konami code.
Konami code for Nintendo. If you played a Konami game, like my favorite, Contra, if you did that before, as the game was loading, you pressed up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start if you were by yourself, select start if you wanted to play with your friend. You got 30 lives, which was more than enough to get you all the way to the end of the game.
Have you ever tried beating it with just the three?
It's hard as shit. I don't know if I've ever done it. I feel like I might have. It takes a while to earn extra lives in Contra, if I remember correctly. It's been a while.
The other one I can kind of think of was in the original Metroid, was Justin Bailey, was the code that you put in.
There was also, was it Shenlong? You must defeat Shenlong to in Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And that was just, I think, one of the developers or something.
Right, but yeah, that's... So yeah, I mean, they had video game ones. We had movies things. So I mean, so how do y'all want to get into our discussion?
So you've got a list, right?
Yeah,
I came up with 9.
We're gonna play a game.
Okay.
Thank you, Saw.
Yeah. Play a game. All right. So how are we gonna play said game?
So, Glenn is going to try to not give us details about this Easter egg. Describe what the Easter, and we're gonna try to guess what it's
what
from.
What film it's from. All right, so I'm going to start off
Do we wait to the end, or do we just chime in when we think we know?
Don't be afraid. Shout it right out when you know.
Shout it right out, because that way, you know, we can see which one of us wins.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to start off with a comic book film. And this character was created by a certain artist. And there's a scene in said movie when... A reporter character is describing this.
Superman.
No.
Damn.
And is it Batman 1989?
Correct.
Oh, it was the other one.
Describe the Easter egg.
So, the one that you're probably referring to is at the beginning where someone is trying to make fun of Alexander Knox, played by patron saint of my bachelor party, Robert Wool.
I love the way that you said his name like he's like Alexander Knox.
Give Knox a grant.
Don't be putting this in the paper now.
It'll ruin your already useless reputation.
If you want me to pose nude, you need a long lens.
I love Knox.
Knox is great. In this, they're making fun of him, so they draw a picture of the Batman that he's been trying to trail, and it's a picture of like a bat in a
three-piece suit.
Yeah, a business suit. And
but they didn't put enough gore under the fangs.
Yeah.
That's right. You dick.
But that picture is drawn by Bob Kane, the creator of the Batman.
Let me ask you guys something.
Let me answer you, Ryan.
There's something about that movie that just not sit well with me. It didn't sit well with me at the time, and I've never really asked anybody about this.
1989?
No.
Bob Gunn.
During the scene when the Joker starts to poison the crowd with the gas, and Knox decides to take a shot at heroism.
Is it when Kim Basinger refers to it as Smullock's gas?
No. Or is it when he karate chops his trunk open?
Well, that was weird in and of itself.
That's awesome.
But did it not concern you all the weird shit he had in his trunk? Like, why does he have a fucking surgical mask and a bat and all kinds of weird tools
because
in there?
That's
like,
the way
he's
uses...
a fucking reporter.
Like, was it a surgical mask? I thought it was like a painter's mask.
I thought it looked like a painter's
mask. That doesn't make it any less weird.
He was painting his apartment.
Apartment.
No shit, it was all over the pavement.
I knew he was going to say it. It was just, he's got weird shit in his trunk.
Was it a bat or was it a tire iron?
I think it was a bat.
It was a bat.
Okay, it was a bat. Well, you don't keep a bat in your trunk.
He didn't even hit anybody
the
with
bat.
It. He just sort of yelled at people.
You know what? They probably, everyone was making fun of him for looking for Batman. They probably left bats on his desk.
And they, there you go. That's hilarious. Yeah. That would be funny if that was true.
You're a deep thinker, Glenn, and I love it.
I try.
Thanks for clearing it up.
That's my headcanon.
All right, Greg, Greg gets one.
Okay. So the next one, this was a 1980s film. And so there were two 80s films. And the second one was probably the more famous of the two, where Eddie Murphy is the star. And there's a scene where a large sum of money is dropped.
Coming to America.
All right. Describe the Easter egg, Ryan.
Okay. So the Easter egg is in Coming to America, the premise is he's being forced to get married because he's come of age, but he doesn't want to. So his father thinks he's going to America to sow his royal oats, but he's really going to find
my son has a job.
Yeah. He's going to find his bride. Well, he takes his best friend, Semi, Arsenio Hall, with him, and they go to Queens, and
that's where
you know, royalty would be, and they find the shittiest apartment, and he keeps telling the girl he's interested in that, you know, he lives really poor, whatever, but Semi, during all this time there, has become so depressed, he basically tells him, do whatever you want, just stop pestering me, and you're going to come to work and do your job, and blah, 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 blah. Well, Semi spends, like, thousands and thousands of dollars and revamps the apartment. So when Eddie Murphy sees this, he gets pissed off. He takes all of Semi's money, puts it in a McDowell's bag, and leaves. And as he's leaving, he dumps it to this homeless people sitting at the outside. And it turns out that the homeless people were Don Ameche and Ralph Bellamy, who were the
Randolph and Mortimer.
Randolph and Mortimer Duke from Trading Places.
It was the Dukes.
Another film, I don't know that it could be made today the way it was then, but both fantastic
also
movies.
Also a very good New Year's Eve movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I would argue Coming to America might be one of the top five comedies of all time.
And, and Trading Places might be in the, I'd say, top 10.
Yeah, you're right. Eddie Murphy, man, in the 80s, he couldn't miss.
Just let your soul glow.
I love that.
The Golden Child was on the other day. Me and Carolyn.
I love that movie.
I did too.
I want the knife, please. So, okay. So the next Easter egg I kind of, or that was another two 80s films. And so in Steven Spielberg was kind of known for not only directing, but producing a lot of films, especially, you know, his friends would direct it and he would produce it. And he's very known for being a very hands-on producer. And in this film, a young man is in trouble and calls the police. And the police chief does not believe this child, that these bank robbers are in their town.
What the fuck?
And he starts listing all the crank calls that he's gotten from this child over the years. And one of them was, I don't know, I think he mentioned Michael Jackson going to Godfather's Pizza. And he...
This is Goonies.
It is.
I had no idea. I was like...
You know the Easter egg I speak of?
I don't know the Easter egg. I'm trying to run through because Chunk's on the phone and he's telling him...
The police chief.
Oh.
And the police chief's going through all of the crank calls that he's gotten from Chunk over the years. And one of them is about all of the creatures that multiply when you throw water.
Gremlins.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Which was also produced by Steven Spielberg.
Both Richard Donner movies too, right?
Yeah. Well, no, Gremlins wasn't.
Was it Joe Dante?
Joe Dante.
Okay, you're right.
But they were all produced by Steven Spielberg.
Good peek.
Okay, so the next one is a sequel to a very popular 80s film. And in the climax of this, our kind of outmatched hero goes into a large ship and is given a ancient weapon by an alien. And there's a bunch of, I guess, trophies of things.
Okay, Predator 2.
Correct. What's the Easter egg, John?
The Easter egg is... Damn it. I remember reading this very recently. Greg, you look at your what to know. Do you know
there
what
is an oh, alien,
the alien skull,
skull from
skull.
Aliens?
That's right.
That's right. Just in the background.
Led to Alien versus Predator.
That's right.
Whoever wins, we lose.
Correct.
This movie sucked.
That's why we lost.
We lost big time.
We did.
So, okay. So, this Easter egg I put down, and it's actually in a number of films. And this director is kind of known for putting lots of Easter eggs to his prior films in there, and most of the Easter eggs involve two brands that he invented. You can name any number of films these came in.
This is Quentin Tarantino.
That's correct.
Red Apple Cigarettes is...
Yeah, that's one of them. And the other brand, Tarantino direct.
The Kahuna Burger.
Correct. There you go. And they're not all... And if you notice, they're not only in Quentin Tarantino movies, they were featured prominently in Romy Michelle's High School Reunion.
Hmm. Seriously?
Yeah, when Romy and Michelle are getting into their car to go back to their reunion, there's a giant ad for Red Apple Cigarettes right behind
them. These aren't real things, right?
No. Quentin Tarantino invented
them. Who comes up with that kind of shit?
It is a tasty burger, Ryan.
It's that Hawaiian burger.
Oh, man.
They got tasty burgers.
They do have tasty
and
burgers.
And then Red Apple Cigarettes. Do you want filters on that?
None.
So, anyway.
Greg's killing us. It's 3-1-1.
Yeah.
All right, so...
I didn't even get it right. I got the movie right. Yeah,
it counts.
All right, so here's a film from the late 90s. And so this film is kind of a satire on consumerism. And there's a certain coffee brand that they try to put in every scene in this film. And
Fight Club?
Correct. What is...
Starbucks. It's
in damn near every scene.
Almost every scene, there's a cup of Starbucks.
It's in so many scenes in that movie. It's also in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the panning shot through the garbage can, there's a Starbucks. I think there's one on the copy machine.
They tried to put it in every single scene in the film.
You know, one thing that always annoys me in movies is when they have coffee cups, like Starbucks cups, and they go and put it down, and there it makes a sound that you can clearly tell it's an empty cup.
Yeah.
It's too light. It like makes a... Yeah.
So let me ask you this, as Glenn, you would know, because isn't this the magic of movies? Don't they have to like do a sound effect for that?
Sure. Yeah,
so
it's called Foley.
So like, it might have been a full cup, but maybe that when they went to do the sound effect, they only had an empty cup.
The sound effect supervisor did not do a good
job. You could tell by the weight of it though too. Like when they put it down, there's a certain...
Well, maybe he did. Maybe they're really good effects, and they're like, "Fuck this, we're not gonna... It looks empty. It's gonna be empty."
There you go.
Which if David Fincher did it, you wouldn't know because he's a perfectionist. All right, here we go. So this film is a 70s movie. And a certain character is being transferred from a
Star Wars.
There we go. What's the Easter egg that I'm talking about?
It's the cell number that the
1138 THX.
It's THX, yeah.
Yes. And why is 1138 important?
Because that was the student film that George Lucas directed,
THX
1138. Does it? Which stars Robert Duvall, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Isn't there another, like, the garbage compactor that Luke calls? Isn't there something else with that?
I mean, the...
3263827.
Yeah, the...
8675309.
Yeah, that's Jesus. Number.
I don't know. I could have swore that that was something too, but the famous one is the THX
1138. All right, so getting to the end of my list here. So
what is it 331 now? Yeah.
All right, so this one's a more recent.
How many more we got left?
Two.
Ooh.
On my list.
John can tie.
Yes. So this one's a more recent film. In the grand scheme of things, this is also a comic book movie, and it features an actor that was primarily known for a very famous kind of character that's very quotable. And let's just say in the course of this comic book movie, this character fakes his own death. And there's a quote on the tombstone that they leave that is a tie back to a famous speech that he gives in a prior film.
It is Captain America Winter Soldier.
Correct.
And it is... it's Nick Fury's tombstone, and it says it's got the Bible verse on it, Ezekiel
25:17.
Does it? I didn't know that. Yeah. That's cool.
On the tombstone, it says the path of the righteous man.
No shit. I love that.
John, you've just made this interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's correct.
So we will either have a definitive winner, or John will make it a tie.
All right. The last one that I wrote, and this is one of my favorite Easter eggs of all time. So there are a lot of filmmakers, especially from the 80s, that became friends. And two of these filmmakers, I think we've mentioned both of these on this list. And this movie was technically, might have been the first prequel I ever saw. And the hero of this movie is, there's a cold open. And the hero of this movie is thrown out of a window. And he is in a nightclub in Asia.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Correct.
Ooh,
what's the Easter egg?
This will decide it. This will
decide. Do you know it?
Okay.
I do it.
Say it then.
It's Club Obi-Wan.
Correct.
John has tied it.
Yeah. I forgot about that. He's right.
So tiebreaker, going to the same duo. There's a reference in the first movie in the series where our main character
in Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's some engravings and there's R2-D2 and C-3PO on it.
There we go.
John has taken it
and
come up from behind.
Yeah, that's what she said. Those two fuck with each other a lot. Like,
I'll give you another one.
I mean, episode one had the E.T. people in it.
Yeah, right? And then E.T. had what in it?
Yoda mask from Halloween Children. Yeah. I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
Yoda mask. John won my Easter egg contest, so Cadbury eggs for all.
Yeah,
that was fun. I like that. That was
that was
cool.
Really good.
So, I mean, look, guys, you guys, other Easter eggs that we forgot about.
Yeah, what are your favorites?
I mean, we just came up with this idea yesterday. Yeah, we just... And these are the first ones I kind of...
Just spitballing it. Just something different. Talk about Easter eggs for Easter, because there's not many Easter movies. Why don't they make Easter movies? Is that because we're too busy praying? Celebrating the Lord rising from the dead?
Eating chocolate.
I mean, we could watch The Passion of the Christ. That's a good Easter movie.
Good. Well, it's a good Friday movie.
The Jesus snuff film that would...
I mean,
I always found that it was extra bad of this person when I was at Blockbuster in Baton Rouge. I worked there. We caught a thief stealing, and he was stealing The Passion of the Christ on DVD. I was like, that seems like it's extra wrong.
How about The Last Temptation of Christ?
That's a weird movie. It's not actually. It's not really as weird as you think. Like back then, it was pretty controversial. But I don't really.
But most people that protested and never saw it.
Right. Like they hear,
right, they were the right.
They hear like, oh, the Jesus gets down off the cross. I'm like, that's not really what happens. That's
did you write that?
That's all that goes on in his head.
The Chris Farley Show when Martin Scorsese was on there.
So the thing is this, you know, we all grew up in Catholic schools. I'm, you know, not a Catholic, but basically one of the things that they always said, and this kind of stuck with me, is we celebrate Christmas more, but the more important holiday is Easter, because that's the one where the debt was paid for people's sins and everything like that.
Well, Christmas is just more fun, man.
But that's my point. So maybe there's not a lot of Easter movies because it's not as fun. Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of films about Jesus, TV series, movies. There's lots of...
Right, but like all but Christmas movies are typically about the spirit, the season of goodwill, and Santa Claus. That's all the other... You don't see a lot of Easter Bunny movies or, you know... I don't know, maybe.
I mean, yeah, the awesome scene in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
You stole Duncan's Easter biscuit.
Do you guys like watching religious films, like about Jesus and
it
stuff?
It depends on the movie. So I mean, it's like any genre. You got your good ones and your bad ones.
Passion of the Christ was very good. It's hard to watch.
I love that movie.
I mean, it's weird as shit, but I kind of like Noah with Russell Crowe.
That was good.
Yeah.
I'm all for, like, I put it into two genres. I like things for historical significance and things like that. And then I also... I enjoy seeing other people's points of view.
I know this isn't technically Easter, but like as far as like the story of like Moses and everything, like The Prince of Egypt is an amazing movie.
Oh yeah, that's.
I actually liked it better than The Ten Commandments. That movie's too fucking long.
I was about to say The Ten Commandments. I just remember like seeing that when I was little, and it was pretty epic.
It was epic, but it was just long as fuck. It's like 4 hours with the commercials on NBC.
and then the one with Christian Bale played Moses?
Oh, that one was terrible.
I don't remember that. I don't remember the name of it.
I don't remember the name of it either, but yeah. Was it really Scott directed that?
Was it Gods of Egypt?
Gods of Egypt.
No, I thought it was Alex Proyas that directed that.
Really? Maybe.
Yeah.
I think we might be confusing multiple movies.
It's entirely possible.
Elements. It is certainly possible. But no, Christian Bale did play Moses, though.
Right? Yeah.
Christian Bale was also...
Wasn't Ralph Fiennes Ramses? Or was he the voice of Ramses?
This sounds so familiar.
He was the voice of Ramses, I think, in The Prince of Egypt.
I think you...
Okay, no. Alex Proyas did Gods of Egypt, which was Gerard Butler and Nikolai Coster-Waldau.
Okay.
We're making our own.
Chadwick Boseman apparently was in it. Chadwick Boseman played Toth in that movie.
Like the parade?
Toth.
Yeah.
So that's why we have that parade.
Because of Chadwick Boseman.
You're damn right.
So I'm looking at the other one.
I celebrate.
The Christian Bale one.
His legend reverberated through history and made Toth a parade years ago.
Hell yeah.
Let's see.
Exodus, Gods and Kings.
That's good for you.
That was Ridley Scott, and it was Christian Bale was Moses, and Joel Edgerton was Ramses. Edgerton.
Yeah, I think Ralph Fiennes voiced Ramses.
Okay, yeah, that's the eyeliner I remember was Joel Edgerton.
Yeah,
good stuff.
But those movies you should not watch. Probably.
No,
there are a few good ones. Like I said, Prince of Egypt.
The anime Val Kilmer was the voice, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was the main one.
Yeah.
Last Temptation of Christ, I think. If you're out there and you're listening and you're a religious person, like it's a very interesting psychological story. It's like it's told as if like probably how most people react nowadays if someone came around saying I'm the son of God, people would be like, this dude's crazy. Yeah, like, and it's sort of that perspective on it. They sort of make him seem a little out of his mind. Like in most of the films, he looks very righteous, and it's like, well, I mean, there's a glow behind him every time he's talking, and
this
it's like
is Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's Willem Dafoe. He looks crazy, so it's like
Bruma.
One of my favorite Willem Dafoe lines ever.
But he played God in that Emma Stone movie that just won some Oscars.
I started that movie, by the way.
I haven't seen it.
It's weird as shit.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. It's weird, but I enjoyed it.
I'll talk to you guys off air about the first 10 minutes, but
I
put it on like while I was at work on break, and I was like, okay, I gotta watch this in the privacy of my own home to pay attention because I don't know what the fuck is going on.
This isn't a movie to watch.
We're talking about Poor Things, which won a shit some Oscars, and
if you sit down and like pay attention to it, it's not hard to follow.
It's odd.
It is odd, but I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
All right, folks, you can help us out.
Sure.
The only thing that we're going to ever ask you is the freest thing. Just like and subscribe.
Yeah, you're getting all this shit for free, you know. We're entertaining you assholes. Just like us, share us.
And really, the value of Ryan.
Yeah.
The value of
Ryan. Do you want us to go away?
Yeah, it you know, it's...
We should get Ryan to do a performance of Robbie Williams' Let Me Entertain You.
I like this idea.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
It's a song.
I know it's Robbie Williams is a singer, but I don't know this performance.
That's okay.
It used to be like the theme for like was it NBC or something? They played it.
Not that.
I mean, I'll do that if you want.
Dressed as a peacock.
I'm a mom.
But yeah, you know, please help us because you guys have done that so far. We're boosting up there in the.
You, TikTokers.
The listenings.
Yeah, our listens have been spiking, and people have been going back and discovering some old episodes.
Continue to do that. Let us know which old ones you like. You might want us to
go
revisit.
Back and find the ones that where we interview each other. Those are some classics.
Those are very fun.
Yeah. The one that I think I'm most proud of is when we went through all the streaming services at the end of last year. That was a good episode.
That was a valuable service for this community.
Yeah,
we made it do it again. The way they keep merging and changing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the streaming community,
and there are many other social media platforms to find us on. Like,
find us at The Awesome Village Podcast. We are currently on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, and while it's around, you can find our videos on TikTok.
TikTok ain't going nowhere.
Awesome.village.pod.
This has been Greg,
Ryan,
John,
and I'm Glenn.
We will see you next week.